This is the Pundits Podcast, sponsored by BetBright.
Guys, another fantastic weekend in the Premier League, and as to be expected, I'm going to pick up on probably the most boring game of the weekend, which was obviously Liverpool-Southampton, a game that truly baffled me, in sheer lack of entertainment. But behind that, I think there's an interesting topic in regards to Jurgen Klopp, the Liverpool manager. He, along with the team, are involved in this bizarre race for a top four place in the Premier League. And I guess we'll just kick things off at the start. How do you guys think the German coach has done so far this season? Has he done better than expected? Should he be doing a little better considering the competition this season?
I mean, I think he's done about par for the course, and it's, you know, such fine margins, because if they qualify for the Champions League, then he's had an exceptional season. If they don't, you know, and it's going to be a point or two in it. They have had this really weird Achilles heel where they've been dropping points to ridiculous teams. I mean, twice this season they've been ahead against Bournemouth and have taken no points from those games. And you know, the Southampton game, they could have kept it in their own hands. They get a penalty, miss a penalty. I think as a squad, or certainly as an 11 or 12 man, 11, 12, 13 man squad, they've come on a fair bit from last season. He's had to tinker with his team. They're still big deficiencies there, but individual players have certainly come on an awful lot from last season, and so you can see that, you could say there's been an improvement in Liverpool as a whole. Whether it's where they should be, given there's, you know, there's been some other teams that had pretty weak seasons really all around them.
Yeah, it feels like that with a lot of teams in the Premier League. They're not only judged about what they do, but they're judged against how their rivals are performing. And for where Liverpool are find themselves just now, as Tom says, I think it's par just now. Getting the Champions League would obviously be a massive boost, and then it's really next season is how I'll judge Jurgen Klopp overall, but just now he's certainly doing enough.
Yeah, I mean, Graham's on holiday this week, so we can bash Man United all we want. Is there an element there that we have to perhaps put an asterisk next to, you know, the position right now, where you've got teams like Arsenal, Man United and Man City, who all seem in transition, at least the two Manchester teams. Arsenal seem to be just doing an Arsenal at the moment.
Yes and no, but I mean, there's always these sort of things in the season. I mean, people said that the same thing with Leicester last season, that, you know, you put an asterisk, they're not expected to challenge every single season. It's getting harder to pick up points against the mid-table sides and the lower sides. I think the fact that what were Liverpool last season, 8th, they're going to finish something between, you know, probably 5th and 3rd of the season. They are going to be better than they were. I think all in, you kind of got to judge it just on its own merits, on the season on its own merits, I would say.
I mean, an interesting stat that I think Bleacher Report brought up was that David Moyes' win ratio at Man United was 52.9%. Jurgen Klopp's at 49.4%. Is that a fair comparison, Scott?
I don't think it is, because I think, as Tom mentioned, the changing nature of the Premier League and the money that's come in the last TV deal, I think, has elevated what you would traditionally call the mid-table team. And even your teams like Everton, West Brom, that are in the higher part of that, in Southampton as well, I think it's harder than even when David Moyes was Manchester United manager, which wasn't all that long ago. So I think that's got to be taken into consideration as well. I think the elite teams have, although they maybe aren't doing as well in Europe, I think the games are always has progressed even from a couple of years ago, so I don't think it's quite a like for like.
And also you've got to look at where the squads they inherited. David Moyes inherited a championship winning side, you know, probably the worst championship winning side of the Ferguson years, but still a championship winning side. And, you know, rightly or wrongly, Klopp inherited a side that were all over the place, or looked to be all over the place. The squad didn't fit what football they were trying to play. They tried a couple of different things. Kenny Dalglish tried things for a couple of seasons, for a season. Brendan Rodgers had tried things for a season. They'd lost players. They'd bought quite poorly. I think, so one seems to be a squad very much on the ascendancy, and the Moyes side certainly seem to be dropping.
It's a different type of football as well. I think that's a very important point, because Jurgen Klopp likes to play a particular brand of football which takes longer to adapt to than it does for David Moyes, who didn't really have too many outstanding coaching ideas.
Yeah, what really stood out for me after the Southampton game was just the sheer outrage online at dropping 2 points to Southampton, you know, not scoring that penalty, the fact that they had very few chances on goal. And there seems to be this thing about Liverpool that they've got such a passionate support that if they aren't firing all cylinders, if they aren't challenging for a league title, things are falling apart. And we saw that with Brendan Rodgers and up here in Scotland. Obviously, he's began to redeem himself. But I mean, is Jurgen Klopp, do you think that's something that sits in the back of his head where he thinks, God, Brendan Rodgers was within a whisper of winning this title and he left with his head hanging in shame?
I mean, in those ways, I think Liverpool's a good emotional fit for Klopp and like a lot of managers, but
it's heavy metal football.
I almost think it's hiding to nothing a lot of the time with Liverpool. And of course, if you were the one to break that Premier League title drought, you'd be considered a god, maybe the way that Benitez is for winning the Champions League with them. But ultimately, it's a very, very risky thing to put in your CV, because for the best part of 20, almost 30 years, they've not won a league title. So it narrows it, and they don't have the financial muscle in the same way maybe that Arsenal would, that you could fix things quite easily in that way. So I always thought it was a risk for Jurgen Klopp, and as I say, I think next season, if it doesn't start well, or even to the midpoint where it's not looking good, well then where does Jurgen Klopp really go from there? Because then he's not won a league title in 5-6 seasons. His stock surely then in descent, and that's not a great place to be.
Tom, do Liverpool fans have to temper their expectations here?
It depends what the expectations are. I don't think it's unreasonable for them to be like upset at the weekend's result. I think it's not like they've got themselves into it's not that they're lucky to be in the position that they are. But they've now, it seems with Liverpool, every time they get themselves into a position of strength, they've had a couple of really good results, and they've got an exceptional record against the top sides in the division. They seem to just fall short against the no disrespect to Southampton, but they seem to fall short against the sides that they should see off if they're going to be a genuine Champions League contender. So in a lot of regards, it's not necessarily that they've been a bad side. It's just they have their destiny in their own hands and they throw it away. It's a similar sort of arc that the Arsenal fans have had with Wenger this season. It's the games that they should win that they seem to be dropping points.
I think it is a mentality thing. Yeah, I think that's absolutely bang on. It's a mentality thing with Liverpool. You know, they beat Chelsea away at Stamford Bridge. They beat Tottenham at home, Anfield, not to distant past. But they drop points against Southampton, they drop points against Crystal Palace. If you do that, you're always going to have frustration when the support, because the nature of the beast is that it's so intense and you're only as good as your last result.
I mean, what intrigues me is the fact that the things we're seeing happening in Liverpool are quite similar to what happened at Dortmund with Jurgen Klopp, in the sense that he was so good at galvanising the squad to challenge his big teams, you know, as we saw with Dortmund in the Champions League. And obviously, when they were winning titles in Germany, they were doing so because they were beating Bayern Munich. You know, for at least two or three seasons, Dortmund just had Bayern's number, and that's how they won league championships. And that seems to be the case here at Liverpool as well. But at Dortmund, complacency began to play a part, struggled against the small teams right after beating the big teams, and even in Europe or Germany. But another point I thought was maybe worth bringing up was, is it fair to perhaps compare what Klopp's doing at Liverpool to perhaps Pochettino at Tottenham or what happened at Leicester last year? Because Liverpool were supposed to be the Moneyball club, aren't they? Now that's kind of what they're supposed to be. They're supposed to be the smart club, but teams like Tottenham and Leicester are beating them at it, aren't they?
I think to some extent that's true, but I also think that Tottenham are probably a couple of years further into the project than Klopp and Liverpool have been. I don't think you can be particularly critical of his transfer business. I think he's done very well in the transfer market, and he does seem to have got an awful lot out of, you know, Mignolet and Chan. The season's been excellent. Milner seems to have found another gear again. There's a whole load of players that have been there for a little while that seem to have kicked on another level. But I think both with Spurs and Leicester, that squad had been together for a little bit longer. So I think, you know, as we've said already, maybe this time next year we'll be able to see if this is a squad that does have another 20% to find, which I think they probably do.
Yeah, he's made summer signing this year. Mane has been an unqualified success. To get a team in the Champions League playing James Milner at left back for a full season both shows the kind of glaring issues that there are in terms of keeping Moreno, and clearly they don't trust him after his horrific start to the season. And then the way that he's been able to fashion a team, getting the best out of Coutinho, making sure that Lallana's playing better than he ever has, and it really nailing down consistency with him. And even he's turned Origi into a more productive forward than he was certainly in his first season. So there are signs that both his coaching and his strategy are working. But there's also signs where maybe some of the issues we've seen with Liverpool for decades haven't worked really, where they'd have issues in central defence with Lovren. Clavan hasn't really worked out as a signing. The goalkeeper that they bought as well in the summer, they've just switched with Mignolet as well. So there are still those issues there, but if they can address those in the summer, then they certainly have a chance to do, certainly as Tom mentioned, maybe replicate what Tottenham were able to do maybe last season.
I mean, perhaps, maybe I'm just being pessimistic here, but I'm thinking that if Liverpool were to finish in the top four, the fans would maybe be fearful or looking over their shoulder thinking, God, Man United or Man City or Arsenal, whoever finishes fifth or sixth, they're about to drop an armada of new signings and really invest. And I mean, when you look at this Liverpool squad, do you guys think it's still, even if they've finished top four, and congratulate them for doing so, does it still need a lot more investment?
Well, I think it does, but I mean, in terms of the Manchester clubs, they kind of half did that this summer, and it hasn't worked for them, and Liverpool managed to stay ahead of them. It's about being smart in the market, and you know, certainly as you kind of mentioned, the transfer committee, and that obviously is what brought about the end of Brendan Rodgers. And actually, when they got the money for Suarez, that's often when Liverpool actually blow it. Yeah. When they have this money, they're not sure what to do with it, whereas maybe developing players is always maybe when they've been better through either Torres or even homegrown players like Fowler Owen type thing. And you're maybe seeing that with Coutinho and things where coming up through the system, making their name at Liverpool is actually where they're better. So they're maybe more of a development club than a better buying one.
I mean, I think if you're looking over your shoulder and worried about what other clubs in the Premier League are going to do spending-wise, you're going to be in serious trouble because, you know, West Ham are spending ridiculous money. You know, there'll be clubs that are coming into the Premier League, or you know, pick any one of them, and they'll spend a ludicrous sum this money this summer. I think even if, you know, even if Liverpool finish third, that squad does need depth, if nothing else. You know, there are a couple of positions that they really could do with strengthening, certainly at centre back. If players like Lucas go out, they're going to need to find a way of you know, bringing in some replacement, even if it's just for the squad depth, not least because they've got they have a Champions League run
through.
More games. You know, yes, I think they need to strengthen. I think they need to strengthen with quite a few bodies. But, you know, the core of that squad is pretty solid.
Before we wrap up, I want to just kind of go back to Rodgers, simply because he's a former coach, the way he left the club, and considering how well he's done at Celtic this season, he seems to be in a lot of praise in the English press. There seems to be almost this revisionism. I can't speak. You know, of how he did, or just simply how good a coach he is. Do you think what he did at Liverpool when he was there, now that he's seen his reputation seems to be coming back, do you think that's something that Klopp has to bear in mind, in the sense that, you know, how much he has to do to leave Liverpool one day as a success?
I think it maybe comes back to the same point about Jurgen Klopp and what he does next season. The way that, you know, Rodgers got them within a whisper of the English Premier League title, but with that means the expectation shift, and Brendan Rodgers was then judged on what he had to do to try and replicate that. And I think Paul Klopp, if he manages to get Champions League this year, well, the expectation will be that he can get Champions League again. And how far can he push it? Can he push it towards a genuine title bid? Well, that remains to be seen. But in terms of Brendan Rodgers, I think, will history judge him harshly? Well, maybe it was a little bit harsh at Liverpool, but ultimately he was a victim of club politics in terms of the transfer committee. It didn't work out, and I think ultimately they saw a bigger name and thought they'd be better off. I think you have to wait until next season to see if that'll be proved correct.
I mean, the transfer policy is a good example, because that's something Klopp was quite adamant about changing when he came in. Tom, one of the things we actually mentioned before we started filming tonight was the BBC quoted saying that Rodgers and Klopp's record after 66 games, Rodgers is actually 2 points ahead of Klopp. If Klopp had won against Southampton, they would have been equal. I mean, does that show that, you know, even if there's still a lot of goodwill around Klopp right now, it's still quite comparable to Rodgers was?
It is, but I mean, it almost goes back to the point I made before about the squads they inherited, and, you know, that's maybe not entirely fair, but, you know, Rodgers built up a squad that got, you know, within a hair's breadth of winning the Premier League and had a Luis Suarez in it, which, you know, wouldn't we all like to have one of those?
I know I would.
Yes, I want two. So I think that, you know, they did build up a great deal of momentum. He's inherited a squad that finished eighth, that needed gutted, that needed reinvigorated, that needed, you know, the entire playing staff needed turned around. The transfer policy hadn't worked out previously. You know, sell Suarez, bring in Lallana, who ultimately has worked out but really struggled for two seasons, spend the best part of £30 million on Christian Benteke. There didn't seem to be much like for like, trying to build a squad, you know, trying to replace what you've lost. So I think it's probably a little unfair, judging from where they've had to build up to. You know, just going back to Rodgers, I think perhaps history will judge his Liverpool time as being a little unfairly. But then again, he did get, he got a little longer. It wasn't just like he finished second and then the next season they were, that's it. He got a fair amount of time, and they seemed to be a side on the way, and they seemed to be a side that were quite broken. I mean, for a number of reasons, Gerrard was getting on in years. You know, the squad just, you know, Suarez had left, but they did seem to be a squad that were past their natural peak. Whereas you do get the sense with Klopp that there's a little bit more to come from this squad, I think.
Yeah, I think emotionally, I think maybe Celtic suits Brendan Rodgers a little bit better. His eccentricities are maybe accepted a little bit more up here, where he can win trophies a little bit more easily, and maybe Jurgen Klopp's kind of style of football and his maybe touchline passion in terms of different character, I think he's maybe a bit better fit for Liverpool. So while their achievements might shift in focus, I think emotionally and kind of for the jobs that they're doing, I think they're probably better fits for both men.
Thank you for listening to the Pundits podcast, sponsored by BetBright. We'll be back again next week with another episode.